My name's Val Kilmer, and I'm reading Mark Twain's Scraps from My Autobiography, Chapter 9, 1900, from Dictations. All within the space of a couple of years, we had two or three other tragedies, and I had the ill luck to be too nearby on each occasion. There was the slave man who was struck down with a chunk of slag for some small offense. I saw him die. And the young Californian immigrant who was stabbed with a bowie knife by a drunken comrade, I saw the red life gush from his breast. And the case of the rowdy young Hyde brothers and their harmless old uncle. One of them held the old man down with his knees on his breast while the other one tried repeatedly to kill him with an Alden revolver which wouldn't go off. I happened along just then, of course. My teaching and training enabled me to see deeper into these tragedies than an ignorant person could have done. I knew what they were for. I tried to disguise it from myself, but down in the secret deeps of my troubled heart, I knew, and I knew I knew. They were inventions of Providence to beguile me to a better life. It sounds curiously innocent and conceited now, but to me there was nothing strange about it. It was quite in accordance with the thoughtful and judicious ways of Providence as I understood them. It would not have surprised me, nor even overflattered me, if Providence had killed off the whole community in trying to save an asset like me. Educated as I had been, it would have seemed just the thing and well worth the expense. Why Providence should have such an anxious interest in such a property, that idea never entered my head, and there was no one in that simple hamlet who would have dreamed of putting it there. For one thing, no one was equipped with it. It is quite true. I took all the tragedies to myself and tallied them off in turn as they happened, saying to myself in each case with a sigh, another one gone and on my account. This ought to bring me to repentance. His patience will not always endure. And yet privately, I believed it would. That is, I believed it in the daytime, but not in the night. With the going down of the sun, my faith failed, and the clammy fears gathered about my heart. It was then that I repented. Those were awful nights, nights of despair, nights charged with the bitterness of death. After each tragedy, I recognized the warning and repented, repented and begged, begged like a coward, begged like a dog, and not in the interest of those poor people who had been extinguished for my sake, but only in my own interest. It seemed selfish when I look back on it now. My repentances were very real, very earnest. And after each tragedy, they happened every night for a long time. But as a rule, they could not stand in the daylight. They faded out and shredded away and disappeared in the glad splendor of the sun. They were the creatures of fear and darkness, and they could not live out of their own place. The day gave me cheer and peace, and at night, I repented again. In all my boyhood life, I am not sure that I ever tried to lead a better life in the daytime, or wanted to. In my age, I should never think of wishing to do such a thing, but in my age, as in my youth, night brings me many a deep remorse. I realize that From the cradle up, I've been like the rest of the race. Never quite sane in the night. Never quite sane in the night.